Oh, wow, we're recording.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Tim.
Hello. I said to you, Slade, I don't know how to start these anymore.
No, you never. You were like the worst start.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm how many episodes have you done? No foreplay, but plenty of finish.
Tim, I want you to know, this is episode 73, and you have not learned it in 73 episodes. How does that make
you feel? That's not including Fnatic stuff.
Right. How does that make you feel?
Well, I was saying to say, I've been doing this for the best part of 5 years, and I lost the recording button. So, not great, but here we are. We're moving. The audience might have heard a third laugh then. Who's that in the corner of the room?
Hello, it's Northern Lad.
It's the Northern boy.
He comes with fried rice.
I do.
And then he eats
it. I do. Oh, I could get some fried rice right now.
Yeah.
Granted, I had dinner half an hour ago. I could still get some fried rice.
Question, yep. What did you have?
I had a filled Yorkshire pudding.
Slade, rate that out of 6.
Never had a Yorkshire pudding. Don't know. That's...
All right, moving on. Joey's away for one more episode, right?
No. So we recorded 3 episodes back to back, if you couldn't tell.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So one more episode. The episode after this one, it's just you and I still. And then he'll be back for the episode after. Well, we can go ahead and say it. Vampire Survivors.
Okay, cool. That's fine. Yeah. Great. Well, shall we get into today's episode?
Do you want to faff around some more, or do you just want to go and talk about it so we can...
What do you want to faff around with?
I don't know. I booked a concert ticket.
You got a concert ticket?
I did for the band Bayside, who's my personal favorite.
I thought about Bayside in a while. They're one of your favorites, right?
Yep.
I've not thought about them since Slade told me one of their albums to listen to, and I listened to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
There's a question. I like to ask people who are like, you know, musically inclined, or just in general. If you have to pick an album, listen to it forward and back without skipping a single song, what's the album? For me, it's literally any of theirs. I love all of them. But so I got gold VIP package.
Ooh.
So here you go. So $130 each, because me and the girlfriend are going.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Here's what the gold gets you, right? One general mission ticket, because it's standing, no seating.
Yep.
A set of action figures of the band. That come in like
action
their own
figures.
Little
action figures. Oh, they are actually. They're like weird little pop vinyl type things.
Yeah, with like a little case and everything.
I think you mean pop vinyls.
Yeah, but these look better than pop vinyls.
Okay. Yeah, they look more like U2s.
Yeah, they look kind of like the U2s, if you know what that is.
Yeah, I don't.
I'll send you a link.
So it comes with that plus a acoustic set with the band.
Oh, I mean, that's like 2-for-1 right there.
Yeah, a signed poster and a group photo.
You know, that's a pretty good package.
All that for $130.
That's not bad.
Really not bad.
That's not bad.
No, so if you happen to be in the Nashville area, say hi.
I think me and Tim won't be somehow.
I'm looking at these U2s. They are a little generic looking. Like, not as generic looking as pop vinyls, because that's very much like copy and paste with different hair, but...
I was going to say, I prefer them with pop vinyls.
Yeah, I think these have a little more personality than the pop vinyls. And then if you want to get a closer look at the band's figures, plus the little, like, stage carrying case.
Oh, you've just sent us a high-res photo of them. That looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Yeah. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, the other one, on the other hand, was $300 for the diamond package, and the only other difference was that you get side stage for like 3 songs.
Yeah.
Right. So I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, well, what if they play their song Hello Shitty off their first album? And that song's like a minute and 40 seconds.
That famous song, Hello Shitty.
Can't say I've listened to that one myself.
I assume that was from their early days before they were known.
Yeah, it's off the first album.
Yeah. Ah,
it was like the first song on the first album.
They could
Alex,
do whatever they wanted.
What album could you listen to back to front without skipping a single one?
There's a band that I'm really into, and I've been into them since I was probably about 16, called Machine Supremacy.
Yes.
The soundtrack for the Great Guiana Sisters and stuff like that, and Jets and Guns. Really, really old video games, really good music. They've got an album called Redeemer, which I could listen to it 30 times in a day.
Yep.
Quite easily.
Good album.
Tim, what about you?
I have two answers. One's very much a normie answer, and one's very much I'm a hipster answer. I'm going to need to find the full name of the album, because I regularly just put it on, like, in the background at work.
Guilty Gear Strive, double punch, up, down, left, right, quarter circle, back, plus.
I'm going to let you have your fun for a minute while I look, while I look at my album.
Is that the normie answer or the hipster answer, Slade?
Neither.
That's just the pure that's Tim the answer. That's
so the normie answer is Fleetwood Mac Rumours, because I think it's one of the greatest albums ever written.
I mean, that's and a banger so album, people. Though.
Yeah. What's that?
That's a good album, though.
It's a phenomenal album, but it's the album that everyone picks.
I can quite honestly say I've never listened to Fleetwood Mac.
You should listen
you
to Fleetwood Mac.
You need to go and listen to Rumours.
Right, see you later, guys. It was nice being here. I don't use Spotify anymore. I use YouTube Music.
Music.
Yeah, I realize that.
The other album that I really, really like and could listen to from start to finish is by Neko Case. It's an album called Fox Confessor Brings the Flood. It's great.
Fox None. Confessor Brings the Flood.
Yeah, my a couple of favorite songs from there are John Saw the Number. I'm pretty sure Dirty Knife rather is on that one. Star Witness is great. Widow's Toast, that's a good one.
And who's this? Sorry,
Neko Case.
I'm thinking Necrogoblin. Never mind.
That's what I was thinking at first.
Very, very, very different. This is like country bluesy.
Okay. And then, I guess other question. Guys, what have we been playing lately?
Tekken 8 on loop. No, the new Tekken's out. It's, at the time of recording, it's been out a day, and I'm in love with it.
I don't think we expected anything else, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no.
I was thinking earlier, I haven't played Guilty Gear in like a month.
You okay?
I don't think I believe it.
Coming down with a cold or something, Tim? What's going on? Do you need to talk about it?
I'm not striving right now.
Tim, blink twice if you're in danger.
No, new Tekken's out. I'm playing King. He's very fun and a big grappler man.
Is that the one that was Gator Roll in earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, like it's very fun to think of space alien samurai man losing to funny pro wrestler man cheater.
Who does a Gator Roll?
If you ever want to see something really funny from Tekken history, Tekken 1 has got cutscenes for every character's like ending. And the whole thing with King is the reason he fights in these tournaments is to raise money for an orphanage that he looks after. But what they have in the end of his cutscene is him going to his orphanage in Mexico, and it's the PlayStation 1 model of King and what's supposed to be a bunch of Mexican orphans, but they're actually just Japanese children running out of a CGI building to go and jump around a CGI man cheater.
All right.
I love Tekken so much. What have you guys been playing?
Alex, go ahead. You're the guest. I'll let you go first.
PAL World.
Oh, yes.
Which is obviously under some a bit of heat at the moment, but it's a good game. And yes, it shares a lot of similarities to Pokemon, but it is a different game.
It's very different.
You can give your monkey a gun. Can't do that in Pokemon. But no, we've been playing it. Fairly solid for the last couple of days, and it's a good little time.
It's
like you'd hate it.
Yeah, so you probably would hate, because there's a lot of base building, survival, crafting stuff in there.
Yep.
But with like Pokemon mechanics.
Yep.
It sounds like everything you would hate, to be honest.
The Fortnite animation.
I don't know if you've noticed, but it's in the running order.
Is it really?
Joey put it in there. Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Oh well, that if you're not buying it, you're gonna need to play the Xbox version, which is inferior.
Good luck.
That's the one I'm gonna play, because Lord, no, I'm not spending any money on any new games anytime soon.
I mean, you have just bought two concert tickets worth of concert tickets.
Yeah.
Slade, what about you? What have you been playing?
If you follow me on the site formerly known as Twitter, I've been doing like a Call of Duty retrospective, because I just wanted to like go and get back the basics of gameplay. And as I play them, I'm just doing like a little one tweet worth of thoughts about the games. Done the first Call of Duty, like the 2003 PC one, its expansion pack, and then I played the first console exclusive. Actually, I finished it today. Finest Hour for the OG Xbox. And then next up in the running order is actually the Call of Duty 2 Big Red 1, then Call of Duty 2. And then Call of Duty 3. I've been having a lot of fun with that, doing a little retrospective of it. Like, going through and, like, seeing the yearly, like, quality of life improvements. And I was talking
until
about
we reach somewhere around ghosts.
I was thinking, well, see, I was wondering, too, as I've been doing this, like, where does the classic era of Call of Duty end, right? Where does it end? Because in my mind, it ends at Modern Warfare, like the first one.
I would say like, Modern Warfare 2.
I was thinking
which one had Nuketown?
Call of Duty 4. No, did it? I don't remember.
No, Call of Duty 4 didn't happen. No,
Black Ops. Wasn't it Black Ops that had Nuketown?
Black Ops 2.
Black Ops 1 onwards had Nuketown.
That's all I know about Call of Duty. That and guns.
You played Warzone.
Yeah, but it's not...
Ooh, it is the first Black Ops had Nuketown.
Yes, sir.
It's Call of Duty Light, really, Warzone. Yeah.
But, no, doing a little retrospective has been fun.
What's been your favorite thing so far?
Them actually having a story, and they're not, like, stupidly long. Like, these things are, like, five or...
that long now.
No, but these are, like, a solid, like, 7-8 hour campaign. 9 if it's deciding to be difficult for some reason.
How long were, like, the Modern Warfare reboot?
It's, like, 3 hours. Like, the new one, it's, like, 3 hours.
Is that it?
And they charge $60 for it.
No, 80.
Right off.
$80 for it, and it's 3 hours.
That.
Yep.
I will never, ever buy. I'm one of these people that cares more about quality of gameplay over quantity of gameplay.
Or
you won't catch me buying a story game that's 3 hours long for $80.
Tim, you get 6 hours of gameplay out of this guy, and I spent $5 on it at the retro store.
That's value for money right there.
So if you got a 360 kicking around, it can play original Xbox games.
There you go. I actually have an original Xbox right over there in that corner, but you can't see it behind my microphone.
I'll take a photo of this, because it's going to be a before and after. I'm about to tear this whole room apart and redo it completely.
Sledgehammer or...?
No, so the giant poster wall.
No, sledgehammer.
Upset will be gone.
What? What are you putting there?
You'll see.
Well, now I'm curious.
That's vaguely threatening, and I feel like there's going to be a body or something.
Shackles and blood.
It's where I'm going to start hiding developers to make me angry. I'm just going to crucify
him
on the
fun room.
I'm going to crucify him on the wall behind me.
Jesus Christ. Let's get on with the episode. On Alex, do you want to do the spoiler warning?
Yeah, the episode ahead contains spoilers for Rollerdrome. Yeah.
Slade, play that music.
No, Tim, put the music in right here.
There you go. That's the music. Was that I Want to Wish You a Merry Christmas?
No. It was... I can't remember what it's called now.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. All right, now the music's going in here. Tim at Wembembo and everything. I'm joined by Slade Plays Games.
Hello, it's me. I play games.
And I'm joined by Alex, the Northern boy.
Hello, I cook rice.
Often.
Frequently, and you'd never believe it.
We're here to talk about Rollerdrome this week. But Alex, as it's a guest episode, do you have any questions that you want to ask us? Because we normally start with a question.
Oh, no, but we started with a question from Slade, and now I'm scared.
Come on, out with it.
Oh.
First thing that comes to mind.
Oh, don't make me do this. If you could live anywhere in the world, no questions asked, no problems, no trouble with internet access or access to necessities, where?
Japan.
Quick off the mark with that one, Slade.
I would move there in a heartbeat.
Get a work visa.
It's well, the problem with working in Japan, unless you're completely self-employed, the corporate life is soul crushing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of expectations for the average salary man.
Which, sounds like the UK, am I right?
Yeah, but like
fellow office worker.
Am I right, fellow Kaijin? or Kaishin rather, not Kaijin. What about you, Slade?
There's a pretty place, and I'm going there soon, called Gunnersville, Alabama, which may not seem too particular, like, or wild or out there, but just give me like 10 acres on the side of Lake Gunnersville. It's one of the prettiest places I've ever been to.
What's it like? Is it like mountainous or?
Yeah, it's mountainous, and the whole town and like the whole city is built like right on the edge of the lake.
It seems precarious.
Yeah, so it's got the cool like small like Americana feel and everything, and it's not blown That's up cool. to where it's crazy. It's still got the slow paced life in there.
That's pretty cool. Like,
are you not worried you get too drunk and walk off the cliff?
That's the goal, right?
All right. What about you, Alex? Where would you live?
Stick me in Norway by one of the fjords, and I'm happy.
That's a good way to go as well. That's a very good way to go. All right. Well, we're here to talk about Rollerdrome. I didn't pull up any information for Rollerdrome because, I'll be honest, it doesn't feel like I'm hosting this. Well, I didn't plan on pseudo-hosting this one, so let me quickly Google Rollerdrome. So it is a mode, single-player video game, according to Google. It won the BAFTA Games Award for Best British Game. It came out on PS5, Xbox Cloud Gaming, PS4, Microsoft Windows, Xbox Series X and S in November 2023. It is a action shooter platformy sports thing developed by Roll7. Does anyone have any initial thoughts before we talk about specifics like mechanics and art direction?
Yeah, I guess we should talk. Or I don't know. Do you just want thoughts, or what do you want here?
Well, let's go to initial thoughts with you, Slade.
Sure. This is one of two games that I could think of immediately that come to mind that make shotguns not fun to use.
Yeah.
It's one of two games. I told Tim a while back before he had started it about the movement in it, because it wants to be like a shoot 'em up kind of game / Tony Hawk Pro Skater, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the way it controls with the movement and how you get your character around, because I played this on the Series S, or at least with the controller, is that if you want to change direction like that you're skating in, it either takes 3 to 5 business days, or you press B and use the dodge button to change in the direction that you want to immediately.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, yeah, the other game, by the way, if you're curious, that makes shotguns not fun to use is Bone Lab.
That's the other. I've heard great things about Bone Lab.
It was very confusing and didn't live up to the hype of the other one. But the reason Bone Lab is not fun is because reloading a pump action shotgun in VR is not very fun. Same with this one. What ruins the cathartic fun of you rolling around in what should be a simple process of using a shotgun to take out an enemy? It's not only that you have to roll by them and shoot them, but you also have to like time out your shots as well.
Yeah, it's like a meter that you have to like watch a bar almost fill up to. Like,
right. So
it's the active reloads from Gears of War.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it is. But you're trying to throw that in with like a movement mechanic, which usually ended up with me rolling off the edge of a map somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I'm not looking where I'm going anymore. I'm watching the meter instead.
Cool. Any more thoughts or?
That's really about it. Oh, cool. Who made this? What is it? Roll7?
Roll7.
You can take your ranking system and shove it up your ass.
The ranking system. I actually hate the rank. Like getting competitive with things. Like when we played Neon White, there would be points after we recorded the episode where I'd go back and just try and beat my friends because it's a fun ranking system. Mm-hmm. This was aggravating.
Yep. And it locks off like the story if you don't get like a high enough rank or anything like that.
Which I suppose, and you're completely right in the Tony Hawk's comparison here. When I was playing it, I was also thinking about aggressive inline. If you guys played that,
mm-hmm. I was thinking about like Tony Hawk, a bit of skate, American.
Well,
Wasteland.
Aggressive inline is basically Tony Hawk's, but with rollerblades on the PS2. But the old Tony Hawk's games, like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, wouldn't let you progress to a new level without completing a certain set of objectives, like collecting skate or collecting combo while doing a combo, knock over this many street lamps, get a high score, that sort of thing. But the thing that I thought about this game, and in comparison to something like Tony Hawk's, is Tony Hawk's is very much focused on being a skateboarding game, whereas this, I understand that it wants to be something really unique and cool, and putting a shooter idea in a Tony Hawk style game is cool in theory, but in practice it feels very unfocused. And as a result, you're not really able to get high scores, and you're not able to get good grades because you're too busy focusing on shooting enemies while also, and then the tricks almost should become like an afterthought.
Yep.
But so it almost when you need nullifies to half the mechanics to me.
Right.
I like the concept, as I've just mentioned there. I really like the art direction. Very cool cell shading to give it almost a comic book feel. And I like the soundtrack. Controls and levels got a little samey, and if I see another sniper rifle, I'm going to shoot him with his own sniper rifle.
Yep.
Those are my immediate thoughts.
But I agree with you, Tim, in that the concept is solid.
Yeah.
I just think I think the execution's focus. Yeah, I think it's just they overcomplicated what should be very, very, very simple. Like, you know, we've talked. Sorry, Alex, I know we haven't let you get to yours yet.
It's all right.
But we've talked forever about, you know, how great the movement and shooting was in Neon White. And that's kind of what I expected out of this.
But like, it's not impossible to combine two typically non-connected genres. Like, look at Metal Hellsinger that was that we covered last year, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Alex and I talked about that last year.
Yeah, it's a rhythmic doom shooter.
And it works great.
It works incredibly. And this could work if it lent more into the arcadey shooter as opposed to kind of precision, kind of timing, kind of skateboarding thing.
And the other thing, Tim, you never played Metal Hellsinger, did you?
I did.
Okay, because it would be forgiving if you got out of rhythm. It's not like it just took away everything from you suddenly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was forgiving. This does not have that.
No. Alex, your thoughts?
If they'd released this as, if they'd said, right, here's a massive sort of open level with all these different trick points and all of these, you can put whatever enemies in, you can set it to have like hundreds of bat enemies or 20 snipers, and you just did what you wanted to do, it would be a very good tech demo. It'd be a very good demo game. The fact that they've tried to sort of put it out as a full fledged game, they could have done with removing all of the weapons except the pistol and giving you a baseball bat. Pistol and a baseball bat on rollerblades, sorted. Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, that would have been, oh my god, a baseball bat? That would have been, you know how many times like I just roll by a generic enemy and they'd hit me, and it's like a melee option would be great right here.
The lack of melee option angered me.
But you're right in that if they focus on one weapon, yes, the shotgun is arguably one of the more in-depth, I'm using air quotes here, in-depth weapons in this game because of the timing and Gears of War active reload-esque element to make critical hits. But it felt like a lot of the weapons didn't really live up to that kind of level of interactivity. And as a result, the shotgun felt overcomplicated by comparison. It's if they focused on one weapon, like let's say you get dual wheel pistols, for example, great. What could you do with dual wheel pistols?
Upgrade system.
Yeah.
Higher magazine capacity, faster shooting, faster reload. You know, you could do a whole upgrade tree as you progress, right? Like, oh, cool, you beat this level. Here's your reward. Your magazine now holds, you know, 5 more bullets.
I'm trying to think what it was, what game it was, and one of you guys might know. And it involved being able to jump, and then you aim a shotgun down, like rocket jumping, but with a shotgun to propel yourself up.
Neon White, because you do that in Neon White.
Was it Neon White?
Yeah. But it was like one of the alt shoots for it. But yeah,
that is Neon White. That would be a great mechanic to throw into this. You know, hey, do you need some extra airtime? Shoot your shotgun downwards, you know.
Yeah.
So instead of making the player focus on precision and timing and aiming and rollerblade tricks, while all within a time limit, I get it's an interesting challenge, but maybe add some more unique movement options. Which is, if you're asking for more unique movement options in a Tony Hawk's inspired game, there's a bit of an issue.
Right.
Also, did anyone else not really understand how the tricks, like, worked. I understand press direction, press button, but I got like four tricks.
I figured it out towards about, I think, the second to last level, because what you need to do is you need to press the X. No, hang on. You either press the X button and then the input, or you press the X button, the directional input, and then the X button. But you can put two directional inputs in to do other tricks as well. So there's one called the, I think it's called the Gravestone, where you would go left, right, X, and you do, you sort of cross your arms over and do a little spinny.
Again, but it's not unheard of for a Tony Hawk's inspired thing, but if that's a main focus of the mechanics and you're not getting that till the second to last level,
yeah,
there's an issue.
This is what I'm saying. Like, it's a solid concept. I just think it's overly complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember anywhere in the tutorial where it said you could put multiple direction inputs to a trick. It was just press left and then X, press right, then X.
Spoilers, I don't think it did that.
No, I don't think it did.
Also, for an indie game, why does it have three EULAs? Or end user license agreement. So,
I think that's just a dumb thing now in a lot of games.
Three of them. Just put them all together.
Well, it wasn't. They didn't self-publish it. They went through a publishing house. So you've got their EULA, the publishing house's EULA, and then probably someone else's for a bit of flavor.
Well, no, hang on. I'm reading here because I'm just on the Wikipedia looking around for like a synopsis of the plot, because there isn't really too much of a plot in this. And I'm seeing here that Roll 7 also developed the Ollie Ollie series.
They did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I loved Ollie Ollie because it was simple and it was focused.
Yeah.
This did not feel like that.
No.
No. Alex, do you want to describe the plot? Because I think you might have got the furthest out of all of us.
I finished the game.
Ah, there you go.
Yep, yeah, so you did get the furthest.
The plot is you're in the far distant future of 2030. Really, really far ahead. And it never gets outright said, but I think it's a bit of a sort of dystopian future. But you're involved in this tournament called the Rollerdrome, where there are house players, which are your snipers, your baseball bat guys, your shield guys, all of them. And their focus is to kill you as the contestant. And it's a simple bracket system of you've survived here, you go to the next round, you've survived this, blah, 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 blah. Ad infinitum. Until they start throwing big bosses at you anyway. But there is some element of story revolving around the media and the company that owns Rollerdrome being involved in some shady business, killing contestants for the sake of publicity. You really have to try and find that, though, because if you're just playing it going from level to level, you will never see any of that. It's on like post-it notes and newspapers and whiteboards and stuff like that. So there is, I don't want to say a story, but there's a theme.
It's in the vague silhouette of a story.
Yeah, it's I think it's very similar to the way wrestling has a story. No one's watching it for the story. They just want to see people get beaten up.
They want to see big burly men in tight pants.
Well, yeah, who doesn't? But yeah, that is the story. You're involved in this tournament and you're trying to survive.
Well, while you were talking about that, I looked up some scores that went around. I think the large sentiment here is that we didn't necessarily enjoy it. Personally, I think Slay and I are on a very similar wavelength of solid concept, execution leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah.
Alex, are you in the same boat?
Yeah, it's an all right tech demo. It's not a good game.
Well, The Gamer magazine gave it a 4.5 out of 5. PC Gamer gave it a 94 out of 100. IGN gave it a 9 out of 10, which probably means it's closer to a 6. Gaming Bible gave it a 9 out of 10. Eurogamer described it as breathlessly stylish and outrageously cool. PC Gamer called it an action showstopper. NME called it dense and compact like a diamond. Like, it seemed to be pretty critically acclaimed.
Did we play a different game?
Yeah, I think we did.
I have to think so, but the poster I'm looking at has build? The same art. Yeah. It just felt... It was fine. I didn't enjoy it all that much, to be honest. I found it quite frustrating to play.
Yep.
Especially with this... Like, I understand the need to have different enemy types almost acting like a very much be quick on your feet puzzle. Being like, okay, there's a sniper over there. I need to be in this position in order to do this. I'm going to get there by doing this, and I'm going to get these things along the way. Like, there's a lot of very moment-to-moment planning, but a lot of the time it just felt like they didn't really think about where to put the enemies or what enemies were coming out themselves.
Did either of you find a problem of... So you're at point A and you need to get to point B that's over the other side. Did you find problems getting there, like getting out of half pipes and stuff like that? You couldn't just like, you couldn't go up a half pipe and then off the other side. You had to go up the half pipe. You went up, you did a twirl, you came back down the same and opposite way.
There is a button to do what's called an acid drop, which is where you leave the half pipe over the edge of the lip you're going.
Is that what an acid drop is, right?
Yeah. So there's there is a button for that. The thing I found, because I thought you and I might have been going in the same direction then, for the life of me, I could not control wall rides.
No.
Nope.
Nigh on impossible. Like, I can remember there's a level fairly early on that looks a bit like a mall. Mm-hmm. And pretty much every... Because it's a horde-based game.
Yeah.
In which you're shooting these enemies. And there's always this ledge in the back left corner of this mall arena that's got like two floors. And there's always at least one sniper on there. And in order to take him out, I wanted to get close so I could like do a sweet flip and shoot some guns, which I'm imagining would have felt pretty good if I could fucking get there.
Yeah.
It's the wall riding. It was either you went way too fast and low or way too slow and high, so you didn't get anywhere near to what you wanted to do. It's like you had to plan the wall ride at least 6 months in advance. It didn't feel good.
Yeah.
No.
So I did a little bit of looking into Roll 7 as a company.
Mm.
They're a small development company. They are an indie company, obviously. They claim to have a no crunch culture, and they encourage their employees to never work overtime. They also developed this and Olly Olly World primarily from home. They only go into the office once or twice a month, which might lead somewhere to the sort of disjointed feel of it. There was also 44 people that worked on this game.
I mean, it's impressive. Like
44 people on this.
It's impressive. It's clearly a very small dev team, and I'm a massive fan of anti-crunch culture.
Yeah,
I think everyone can get behind that. But... You're, like, the fact that they're only attending the office once or twice a month, I'm a big advocate for working from home, but when you're working collaboratively on a big project like that, you maybe need some face-to-face time to make sure everyone's on the same page.
It doesn't feel like a game that was made by a team of 44 people. No, it feels like it was made by 10.
Yeah, I was going to say 5 or 10 people is what I was thinking.
I was thinking 5.
No.
Yeah. Hey, an artist, an animator, a programmer, a sound
audio
designer.
Director, yeah.
Yeah.
And a QA tester.
Yep. I don't think they had a QA tester.
No, they did. They did.
Yeah, like, listen to them then.
All right. Well, I think we've all very much landed on the same page. Shall we get to scores?
Sure. Alex, because you're the guest, why don't you go first?
I would recommend it, but... because it's an interesting concept, don't go in wanting to play a game. It has its good points, but it is sort of shadowed by the janky controls and the repetitive, monotonous, you're killing the same four types of enemies with the same four guns. It's a 4.5 out
of 10. 4.5?
4.5.
Slade, what about you?
Oh, I was going to let you go for it next.
Okay. I probably wouldn't recommend this. I feel like you can get a much more rewarding and fulfilling experience from games that this clearly drew inspiration from. It just felt unfocused for me to be recommending this to someone who's looking for something unique and different. Like, yes, concept is cool, but as we've said a myriad of times this episode, the execution leaves a lot to be desired. Mm. I'm going to go with IGN's real score and give it a 6. I probably wouldn't recommend it, though.
Sure. So I'm going to just say it's a Game Pass game. So
yeah.
Go try it. It's not a big download. Go try it. And then when you're like, man, they're right, the movement's not great in this, I'm going to tell you to go play Neon White if you want to go have movement and shooting fun. And I'm going to give this a 3 out of 10.
Three?
Yeah.
What does that give us, Slade, on average?
A 4.5 out of 10.
Spot Slade, on, Alex. Say, well done.
Did Slade Alex. Say he'd recommend it?
No, I would tell you if, you know, I would recommend another game. But it's on.
It's not hard a great recommendation for this game.
No, it's hard to not just say go try it because it's on Game Pass.
Well, that's all in all, the game is 4 hours long. Like,
yeah.
It's not a huge commitment. It's not a big download.
No, so this isn't me saying, I recommend it. Like that, but if you've heard us talk about it and, you know, you're interested, it is on Game Pass. So it's hard to say don't.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you on that.
Yeah.
All right, well, that gives it a 4.5 out of 10 from the Game Club pod, which for IGN standards is like an 8. So I think we're going to be playing Vampire Survivors next episode. We said that. Yes,
we are.
2 weeks time, Vampire Survivors, everyone.
We've already recorded that.
Will they survive?
Don't ruin the illusion, Slade. All right. Well, we'll see everyone in 2 weeks time for that. But before we get into that episode, Slade is going to be tearing down all the posters on his wall and finding Willy Wonka's secret ticket taped to the back of one of them.
Slade, I want you to taste the eyes out of every poster and tell us which one's the nicest.
Okay.
Good. All right, well, see you in 2 weeks, everyone. Join us in the post-amble if you want more rambling bullshit. Bye. It's the post-amble.
It's post-amble time. Have I ever told y'all one of the times I took all these down to, like, rearrange them, to, like, neaten it up? I used to do this thing with my best friend when he lived with me. Very long time ago when I first moved in here, we would hide Taco Bell hot sauce packets in each other's stuff.
I know about this game.
And there was one behind one of these posters. And I was taking them off the wall, and they hadn't been moved in, like, years, and he was stationed in Alaska at the time. And I took the poster down, and one hit me in the head. And I was furious about it.
Is that the longest distance?
I sent him a text with that, and he's like, I forgot that one was even there, but I think I did one better because I got one, like, I put one in his furniture that got shipped up there. So he found one, like, in Alaska, and he's like, how did you even do this? And I was like, a lot of planning, to be honest.
Like, way too much planning.
Yeah.
Oh. Alex, did you say you had something prepared for the post-amble?
I said I was going to. And then I didn't.
All right, do you want me to go and ask ChatGPT for a quiz?
Please don't.
Let's.
All right, hang on. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a BuzzFeed quiz.
Oh, no.
BuzzFeed quiz.
Somehow right. Worse.
let's see. All right, Slade.
No.
We're going to plan your Valentine's Day, because when this comes out, it won't be far off, and we're going to reveal your love language.
Okay. I've already planned my Valentine's Day, though.
Okay.
Don't ruin the illusion. Stop it. Be quiet.
I'm going to give you the scenario and the four options that are available. Okay?
Give me the scenario.
It's Valentine's Day morning. What's the first thing you do? You either go back to sleep, get a coffee, cook a good breakfast, or scroll for memes on social media.
Scroll for memes.
I knew you would pick that one. Okay, so pick a brunch place. You've got a quiet cafe, a really quiet bistro, fancy dining, or some outdoor picnic thing.
The first one.
Okay. Choose a gift to give. Choose a gift to give or receive. You've got roses. You've got rose petals on a bed with a bear that says "Be my Valentine." You've got chocolates or a pearl necklace, not the sexy kind.
It would be chocolates.
It would be chocolates. Okay. Choose your Valentine's Day outfit. You've got a very trim pink dress. You've got something that's orange and flowing. You've got an open blazer and bra, or a button-up shirt.
I think this is for a woman, Tim.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think this is a woman.
Let's not ruin the quiz.
Slade, where's your bra and blazer?
Yeah, bra and blazer.
Bra and blazer it is, got it. What do you look for most in a partner? Humor, attractiveness, communication, or independence?
Independence.
Okay, we've got your love language. You're a dark and steamy romantic. Physical touch is definitely your love language. So, hold on, why is my Google chiming in now? No, it's asked me to Google dark and steamy romance. Slade, physical touch is definitely your love language, and who can blame you? A more intimate side of Valentine's Day is in store. It's time to celebrate love in all its forms. Let's have a look. Alex, you're going to take care of my child for 1 hour, and I'm going to tell you how good your parental instincts are.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
All right, number one. My child asks you for a snack. What are you giving him? Apple slices, ghost peppers, a live rat, or powdered sugar?
Give the child a ghost pepper. Give the child a ghost pepper.
No, it'd be apple slices, because I wouldn't want ghost pepper. I wouldn't have ghost pepper in the house, because I don't like spice.
My child asks to go on a walk. Where do you go? The coal mines, the club, the nearest cliff, or a playground?
The children yearn for the mines,
the coal
Alex.
Mines. The coal mines. I'm from the north.
Your child asks you to read a story to them. Which one do you read? You've got Alice in Wonderland, Principles of Mathematics, How to Play with Fire, or whatever the scariest book I can find is.
How to Play with Fire, because I don't know what it is, but it sounds cool.
My child is now soundly asleep. What do you do? Watch it creepily, run away, sell all the toys in the house, or do the classic firecracker prank?
The firecracker prank. Why not?
My child wants to get a new pet. What do you get? Nothing. An African crested porcupine, a unicorn, or a bag of Tide Pods?
Nothing, because it needs to learn that it doesn't get everything it wants in life.
Final question. My child is now crying. What do you do to provide support? Make a silly face, give it a lecture on agricultural industries, plan a trip to Disneyland, or not much?
Not much.
Not much. You are an A-plus parent. You've got the skills to raise a child. Do with that what you will.
So the book, was it Playing with Fire?
The book is called Playing with How to Play with Fire.
How to Play with Fire, right.
Alright.
How to Play with Fire by Paul Jenkins.
I'm going to look
it's
for
a Hellblazer this. Book.
Oh, there you go then. Yeah, I'm looking for a quiz that's on the same level. Slade, what 2023 movie man are you going to date?
None. Tim, I got something for you.
What have you got for me?
What kind of creative are you?
Oh, go for it.
Jesus Christ, this is an awful website.
It's just riddled with ads.
I have ad blockers, so not really.
Oh, me too. Yeah. But you can see the gaps.
Yep. Terrible. Do you plan your creative projects? Yes, no, sometimes.
Sometimes.
And sometimes is in a much smaller font than the other two, I want you to know.
That's how so it's more like a... into it.
Sometimes. How do you function creatively? Creatively? Creativity? What did I say?
Creativity is what you said, but it's creatively.
I like to plan things before I take action. I take action and figure it out along the way. I seek talent to help make my projects come to life.
I would probably say I plan things.
How do you spend your free time in... I can already tell you the answer is no on this part. In deep thoughts, seeking a spark. Trying new things, hoping to learn. Networking with people.
I'd probably say trying new things.
I was about to say, I don't see you in deep thought.
No. The whole point of my humor is it's very, very shallow thought.
Which do you enjoy more, crafting ideas, directing, or planning?
Probably planning.
What form of entertainment do you use most often? TV/movies, books, or video games?
Video games, baby.
And what type of art are you most likely to produce? A painting, a story, or a photograph?
Probably a photograph.
You are the producer. Wow. You enjoy seeking out talent to make sure your projects come to life. You have an eye for people who can do things well, and you help people chase their dreams.
In that case, why the fuck am I here, Tim? Bless you.
Thank you. Tim, can we see your shirt today?
What am I wearing?
I don't know.
Under this, I'm wearing a shirt that's got a screenshot of Steve Carell holding a mug saying "World's Best Boss," and it just says that's what she said under it.
I was just trying to see if you're wearing a nice shirt for once.
I did. Whereas I'm just wearing a jumper on top with my company's name on it.
Ah.
Yeah. Nothing special.
I just thought you were into, like, taekwondo or something.
No. All right, well, I think that'll probably do it, right, gang?
Yeah, I think so. I need to go leave a Vampire Survivors in the toilet, so let's get out of here.
All right, see you in 2 weeks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.